I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. How was your Thanksgiving? I'm going to pause right there for a moment, and I'm going to say something that's not on the card because I just have to tell you the funniest thing. I was in Disneyland a week ago with the three-year-old Opal, six-year-old Otis, and my daughter, her husband, my wife. And in line, three-year-old Opal, she just came up with something. She turns without any notice, standing in front of me, and says, "Punchy time!" She's that tall. And it got such a reaction that she wasn't going to give it up. And no matter what we said, out of the blue, punchy time. And wow, did I become quick on my feet. Punchy time. And then she punched my hands. And I said, don't do punchy time. We don't like punchy time. And so we get home. Oh, and at one point, it started to rain a couple days later, and Shaz has ponchos for everything. She says, "Here, put on your poncho. We're putting our ponchos." And she says, "Poncho time!" Which, three-year-old. So we get home, and they come over for Thanksgiving, all the kids, the family. And my daughter takes me aside. She says, "I just have to tell you this. On the way here, we asked both of the kids, what are you most thankful for?" And she said, "Opal said, punchy time with Papa." So, I guess we do. The reason I'm telling you is because here's something you don't know. Every Sunday that I speak, as I get out of my seat, Noah punches me. And it's a great motivator. And so, now, since he was here first service, it's accompanied by punchy time. So, and then Pops, of course, was a boxer. So I don't know what it is. Well, the people in my family like to punch. Anyway.
Something about you.
Something about me, just so punchable. So how was your Thanksgiving? And before you answer, I'm not talking about the holiday. I am talking about Noah's directive last Sunday that comes straight from Paul, who says to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." There you go. Yep. I'll say it again because you need to hear it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Hey, the Lord is near, okay? So do not be anxious about anything because the Lord is right with you, okay? But in every, you know, frustrating situation, by prayer and thanksgiving, this is the scripture he sent us home with, by prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so, do you know why hostilities and holidays and anxieties go together so well? We laugh because it's all of us, right? You know why they go together so well? Anxieties, hostilities, and holidays? Because it's how God wants it. You see, siblings and spouses are what I call sacred sandpaper. They're working the rough edges off you. As is your cousin druggy, your grandma grudgy, your grandpa drunky, anti-Semite, and of course, Uncle Paul. Lytics. As is everyone who causes friction in your life and rubs you the wrong way. And God wants it that way. Because the choice between light and dark goes way beyond the turkey meat. So when these turkeys don't make you happy, let them make you holy. Because those who sit before you have been set before you on purpose to challenge you to endure and enjoy. Therefore, we know this scripture. Therefore, let us run with endurance the race, the joyful race to the throne of God. Okay? You'll notice that's how this thing ends. Let us run the joyful race to the throne of God that is set before us. And how? By fixing our eyes on Jesus. Okay? Who, for the joy, there it is, for the joy set before him in his race, endured the cross and has finished it and sat down at the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Consider him so that you and I, we will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider how they put a purple robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set that on his head. And then they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Consider him. Consider him, because he was pierced for our transgressions, right? The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we're healed. So what do you bring to the table? A piece of your mind or a piece of your heart? Because if Jesus could endure the hostility of the cross for us, we should at least try to endure the hostility of cross words aimed at us. For I have come, Jesus speaking, for you know, this is the way it works, people. I have come to set a man against his father. Not the way he wishes, but it's just what's going to happen. I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Okay? For by one, you know this scripture, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So if those turkeys aren't making you happy, they better be making you holy. So try to rejoice in the Lord always. And really, do not be anxious about anything. So what's so crazy about this is that when Uncle Paul the Apostle wrote this to the Philippians right there, he was chained to a Roman guard under house arrest for 2 years after being incarcerated in Rome. This was ancient Rome's version of an ankle monitor. Just that to him. There you go. And this is our first joyful story. Because look at this. That right there, that is the actual barracks. It still exists. That's the barracks of the palace guard in charge of Paul. How crazy is that? That's it. And you think that's something? Look at this. Here's a selfie taken, or chiseled, rather, just 8 years of the Praetorian Guard. Chiseled just 8 years before Paul wrote to the Philippians about these guys. That what has happened to me, chained to a guard, has really served to advance the gospel. Because as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard, because apparently he talks a lot and loud and convincingly, that I am in chains for Christ. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Because who's chained to who? That depends on who's changing who. That guard is chained to Paul. So who's chained to you? Paul turned his misery into ministry. How about you? Don't just complain about the old ball and chain. I love this line. Don't just complain about the old ball and chain. Minister. Minister. It's your ministry. And grow in holiness. And die to selfishness. And live with joyfulness. Here's the recipe. And rejoice rejoice. Okay, the second funny story is about a messenger who was sent from Philippi, this place right there, sent from Philippi to comfort and assist Paul in Rome. But the guy got so sick that he almost literally died to self, and Paul had to take care of him. Okay, that's not the funny part. Don't be laughing yet. That's not the funny part. But the hilarious part is that before Paul wraps up his letter with, again, rejoice and do not be anxious about anything, just before that, he writes, with regard to Epaphroditus, which is either his name or what he had, I'm not sure. With regard to Epaphroditus, I consider it necessary to send him back to you, for he has been distressed, you know, anxious, because you heard that he was ill. He was indeed ill, close to death. I send him, you know, back so that on seeing him, you may rejoice again and I may have less anxiety. That's hilarious. He knows he's being funny. This is right before he says, again, rejoice and don't have no anxiety. I send him back that I may have less anxiety. Turns out, and I love this truth, it turns out after you pray with thanksgiving, you still got to send some folks home. That's the only way you get peace in the house in some cases, right? Any of those at your Thanksgiving? You're going, no, if not, might have been you. No, everyone was great. And I like to think that they, the Philippians, got a good laugh at this because it's funny. And not only that, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because we should only be joyful. So continue, Paul writes to them. So continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And he also writes to them, I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Oh, that's what we're working out? Yeah, your joy in the faith. And after Paul worked out this situation by putting Epaphroditus on a bus, he adds, welcome him. Welcome him then in the Lord with all joy. And hold such people, you know, the kind you just have to get away from yourself. Hold them in esteem. Because for the sake of Christ, you know, the work of Christ, he came close to death. And boy, this is good. That's because the saved still get sick and die and have anxiety. So can you just lift that off your shoulders if you're a believer? The saved still get sick and die and have anxiety. And you know why? God wants it that way. Even those who are good with God. For it has been granted to you, you Philippians, but also all believers, all of us, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Granted to you. For the simple reason that suffering does not discredit God's power. It opens a door to display it. Which most often has the deepest impact. And leaves the most indelible impression when you're rejoicing in the midst of your pain. And it's certainly the case in our third joyful story, which most likely involves this ancient Philippian prison right there and a jailer who personifies salvation with fear and trembling. Because this is good. One of the Philippians to whom Paul, while under arrest in Rome, is writing is his former jailer, his former Philippian jailer who 10 years before died to self just after almost killing himself, just after God opened all the prison doors to display his power, just after Paul and his associate Silas were severely beaten with rods. It's all part and parcel. It's all tied together. It says he put them, the jailer, put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight now, Paul and Silas, you know, backs bleeding from a severe beating with rods, were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Because nothing gets attention and admiration like singing in the pain. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. Such a violent earthquake that all the prison doors flew open. Which is really funny. Because Colossians was written a couple years before this. And in Colossians, Paul asks them to pray specifically, and I quote, that God may open a door for our message for which I am in chains. And everybody's chains came loose. And when the jailer saw the prison doors open, this guy's so filled with fear, here's the fear, that he drew a sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." Because Paul had convinced the convicts who had been listening to him that God had opened those doors to set the jailer free. And here's a truth you may not like, but it's so good. You and I, we often pray for escape from the places that God puts us to save those around us. I don't like that. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and he saw the light and fell trembling. There's the fear, there's the trembling, and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And there's the salvation. Salvation with fear and trembling. Because as you know, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and he washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized, and they washed their sins away. And then the jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. And you know, after being filled with fear, he was now filled with joy. And after Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house. Lydia's house, which brings us to our fourth joyful story. Because when Paul first went to Philippi, he and Luke, the guy who wrote the gospel, he and Luke went to pray by this river, right there. We know where they went to pray. And this is the place, Luke writes, where we begin to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman, a wealthy businesswoman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home, which famously became the first and foremost Christian church in Philippi. And the destination of Paul's letter to the Philippians. That's where it was going. Look at this. This is just fun. This piece of purple dyed cloth is 1,000 years older than Lydia. This is a 3,000-year-old piece of purple dyed cloth from the Holy Lands. And the part of Lydia's story that I just love is that Paul sends this letter about dying to self to a gal who dies for a living, right? And not just any old dye, royal purple. The same as the robe they draped on Jesus on his way to the cross to die for our sins on his way to his heavenly throne, looking past the cross at the joy that's set before him. And Paul writes at the beginning of the letter, "I thank my God every time I remember you. And in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day by that river when God opened Lydia's heart and she opened her home until now, chained to a guard, putting Epaphroditus on a bus, being confident of this, that he, you know the scripture, read it with me, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion, if you let him. So whatever happens, Paul writes, whatever happens, like Paul's chains or old Pappy's poor health, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. For it has been granted to you not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Because suffering does not discredit our faith. It grants us a chance to strengthen it like a muscle. But our strength requires the joy of looking beyond it, of seeing past it, like Jesus enduring the cross for the joy of our salvation. And so perhaps with the trembling Philippian jailer in mind, Paul urges them and us to continue to work out your salvation like a muscle. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And if you're wondering what that means, that's just a straight on reference to Psalm 211, where it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. For it is God. You do those things. It is God who works in you to, you know, retrain your will, right? And to, you know, prompt you to act. I love the way the NCV puts it. It says, to help you want to do and thus be able to do what pleases him. And I love this translation with the whole want to do, because I loved last Sunday's message when Noah said, we don't need more willpower, we need want power. And I love that statement. So I dug into that this week. Because if you don't really want something deep down, what can willpower do? Because willpower is an action we take against our own will. Which is why self-control is a fruit of the Spirit rather than a work of the selfish self. So, you gotta really want to die to self. And for that, you need a stronger force than want power. You need why power. Why do you want to die to self and live for Christ? You got to work that one out for yourself with the Lord. But the wise rejoice in their whys. Because why power fuels want power. And with enough want power, you won't need willpower because you just want it. You don't need willpower to act in a way that pleases God and gives you the strength to run your race with joy. But his word in your heart will give you the why to fuel the want. For to me, Paul says, to live is Christ. This is his why. To live is Christ. Therefore, to die is gain. That's why. He said, you see, I no longer live my old selfish self. But now it's like Christ lives in me. That's why. So I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has, you want some wise? For he has clothed me with salvation and covered me with that robe of righteousness. Because we have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Okay. So now it's time for us to practice our progress. Like the Philippians, we've got to practice our progress of joy in our faith. We're going to do it with a sing-along with Paul that comes from one of my all-time favorite Route 66 videos. This one's about 15 years old. I wrote the lyrics to this song to the tune of Lydia the Tattooed Lady by Groucho Marx, if that helps. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, we're going to have a ball, literally a bouncing ball. So, I want you to try to sing along loud. I'm talking to you back section. I want you to sing along with joy because we're practicing rejoicing. Let's sing.
You know, you are really lavish. Are you Philippian royalty?
No. I'm just Lydia. Lydia, the dealer of purple cloth. Hmm. We were Paul's first converts in Philippi.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, hey. I put Paul and Silas in my prison. That night, an earthquake shook the doors off the hinges. I would have been executed if they'd escaped, but they stayed and led my family to Jesus. I owe my life to Paul.
So why are you guys so down in the dumps?
Well, now Paul's a prisoner in Rome, chained to a guard 24/7.
We sent Epaphroditus to take care of him.
Yeah.
And then he fell gravely ill, and Paul ended up taking care of him.
Puny.
I have one word for you Philippians. Rejoice! Again, I say, rejoice!
How can we rejoice with you in chains?
With everything that Christ has done in us and through us, how can we not rejoice? Let me put it this way. Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, that linen-rich Lydia, Lydia, the textile lady.
That's it.
She dyed wool and found her niche here. Then she found Jesus and she's far richer. Lydia, oh, Lydia, that purple cloth Lydia, Lydia, the dealer of dye. Though her sales were lively in lavender fur, she was dying inside, stained in sin as it were. So she died in Christ and now Christ lives in her. We should learn to die like Lydia. I said Lydia.
He said Lydia.
I said Lydia.
He said Lydia.
Come along and meet the Philippian jailer, shackled in a self-imposed prison of failure. He restrained us and put away the key. God released us and set the jailer free. La la la. This is my assistant, Epaphroditus. Always falling ill with things like meningitis. And though he said his goodbyes on the deathbed, he only died to his sin like Lydia did. La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la. Lydia, oh Lydia, indelible Lydia. Lydia's solution is die. Every day she kneels down on a mauve camel skin and prays hard for this guard who is Roman in sin, that he'll unchain his heart now that I'm chained to him, till he's wise and dies like Lydia. I said Lydia.
He said Lydia.
I said Lydia.
He said Lydia.
Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, she'll bless every bit of ya. She's the disciple of God. Till they're drenched in a violet and amethyst flood, because purple's the proof that our blues met his blood. When we die to live, and we try to forgive, and we live to die like Lydia.
Getting all that kicks.
Joy is so fun. You know, joy is so fun. Well, let's wrap it up this way. It's okay to be anxious. Just don't stay anxious. You should want to cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you like nobody else can. So in your relationships down here, you know, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus with those who are set before you. Jesus, who being in very nature God, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. For I have learned the secret, Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every irritating situation. And it's simply this. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And let's die to live and live to give and try to forgive our sandpaper people. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and live to die to our selfish self for you. So Holy Spirit, empower us to love our sandpaper people and to know who needs to be sent home. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your undying love and peace and joy. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.